figure I play some metal.
I was trying to figure out. We've never played Metallica on the broadcast. I'm like, what's his tie-in? Metal roofing, metal Metallica roofing. Metal. Got it.
Nice. Well done.
They used to play this when we would come out of the locker room before wrestling.
Meet. Oh, yeah.
And that was a flashback right there.
You ever watch a Virginia Tech game, home game? Yeah. Stop what you're doing and watch how they enter with this song, but the whole stadium, you've got kids, like 50,000 people jumping up and down. It's really cool.
Well, metal roofing is our on-the-house topic today, but Jim, you guys do all kinds of roofing, and a texter has a question here. Patricia, you can join the conversation by calling in 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you, or you can text questions to 411-923. It's kind of a long question, but I think it's a good one.
Okay.
And this is Patricia. Various people have stopped by our home to say we have clay tiles that are missing or damaged, and they can work with our insurance company to pay for the replacement roof. How does that work? Why can't I talk to the insurance company directly? I agreed. We do have some damage. The house is high in the Squaw Peak area. The roof's a clay tile, 26 years old. What are your thoughts?
So the first thing that comes to mind is if somebody's coming and knocking on your door, that is reminiscent of back when we had our hailstorms. Mm. And there's people called storm chasers. And we that live and work in the valley, probably most of us would agree that we don't agree with storm chasers. Storm chasers are guys that are out. They're knocking on doors. They're trying to a lot of times I will say I won't say typically I'll say a lot of times are trying to make more work out of what is actually there. Okay. With shingles, what they did is they'd go through and they'd tell that homeowner that there was a problem, allow them on the roof, and they would find things, right? And then they would take it to the insurance company and they would sell it to the insurance company. In my mind, it's a little bit of a scam, or it can be, not always. Same thing sounds like that would be my first thought with Patricia would be I would be cautious. That somebody's knocking on the door and telling you that. If the house is, I think, 26 years old, is that what they said?
Well, they said the roof is 26 years old.
Or the roof is 26 years old.
I don't know if that applies to the house as well.
Right. My guess is somebody's just going, okay, well, it's an older roof. It's probably time to replace the underlayment, most likely. There may be some broken tiles. Most of the time, insurance is going to tell them on a 26-year-old roof, especially if it's clay tile, it's wear and tear. It's an older roof. Stuff happens. If there was enough tile that was blown off, blown out of place, that might be an insurance claim. It very well could be. But most of the time, probably 95% of the time, when people think it's an insurance claim with a tile roof, it's usually not. And the words are usually come back is wear and tear.
It's wear and tear. It's maintenance.
Yeah. So my recommendation for her would be call a local licensed bonded contractor, get another opinion, and see where you go from there. I'm not saying it's not an insurance claim. It could be.
Insurance could pay for a portion of your roof.
Yeah.
For sure. If there was wind damage, then they'll cover the portion that was wind damage. But at 26 years old, it's most likely time for her to start thinking about replacing her underlayment, no matter what.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think it hurts to call your insurance company. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think you need something to base it on, you know, base that call on.
Now, you had said it's time to replace your underlayment. Well, what is the underlayment?
Okay. So tile roofs across the valley, and I need to do the research. If there's not thousands, there's hundreds of thousands. Romy could probably answer that question better than anybody. How many tile roofs are there in the Phoenix Metroplex? Hundreds of thousands, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, the first and second generation
out of 3 million homes, you know, you're at least
you
half.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. That gives me a good number. So with the first and second generation, third generation tile roofs that we started back in the 70s, we use a 30-pound underlayment. That 30-pound underlayment was, I think, back in those days, we thought of it as a backup to the tile. We thought the tile was the waterproofer, like a shingle, like an asphalt shingle roof. When you see an asphalt shingle roof, the asphalt shingles are that's the waterproofer. That's the roof. The underlayment that's underneath there is a backup. We thought that with tile roofs 30 years ago. Well, what we found with very consistent failures across the board, that underlayment is the primary waterproofing source. So the underlayments that we use now have been engineered to last longer, there's a multitude of different types of underlayments. The one that we don't use, and I get on my soapbox about it, is synthetics. I had two examples this week of roofs that were redone. The underlayment was redone within the past 10 years, and those underlayments are failing.
Now, to elaborate a little bit more on this, Larry's called in, and he wants to know which underlayment is best. Larry, let me introduce you to...
Cannon State.
That's our daughter.
That's Ella.
Oh, when I first heard that out, I thought, oh, that's priceless. That is so precious. We got Canyon State Roofing here to answer your question, Larry. Go ahead.
You all need to stop installing synthetic underlayments under your tile roofs.
Larry, are you there?
Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question for you. I had a roofing contractor give me an estimate on the house, and he was talking about the underlayment. And I told him years ago we used 40-pound underlayment. I did a couple shingle roofs myself back in the Midwest. But he's saying he could put on two layers of 40-pound underlayment, or he recommended a borotile seal underlayment. What is borotile seal, and which would Jim recommend?
Okay. Yeah, good question. And I deal with this every single day. And again, my first statement is, and probably always will be, steer away from synthetics, okay? And again, I may repeat myself, and it may get old, but the synthetics are definitely off of the list. We don't use 30 pounds anymore. Those are definitely off the list. Those 40 pounds that you speak of are typically what we use. Now, what you're looking for is a 40-pound that has an SBS material in there.
And before we get to SBS, explain the pounds. Why is that important?
So it's typically the thickness. It's the amount of material that is per 100 square feet. So a 40 pound material is 40 pounds of material per 100 square feet. Now we typically double that. Right, so that gives you that gives you 80 pounds. You typically, or not typically, you're going to want to overlap what we call shingle fashion. It's an 18.5-inch overlap. So to be a little more specific about those 40 pounds, now you want to make sure that it is an SBS material. That means it has rubber in it. It's not an organic per se, or at least have it spelled out. Okay, so to answer to your question more specifically, you're looking for an SBS 40-pound, probably two layers. It's going to, on most houses, it's probably going to last. I mean, you get 20 and 30-year warranties. It's probably going to last with a proper install 40, 50 years.
Wow.
That's unofficial, but again, proper install, I would make sure that whoever you use is TRI certified. This is kind of taking us into another area, but while I got you, Larry, I need you to hear these things. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, a high quality material really means nothing with a high quality without a high quality install, right? So they may promise you the world with a superior underlayment, but if they're not certified, if they're not trained to properly install that with proper installation techniques, with making sure they use hip and ridge closure, nailing patterns, those kind of things, then that doesn't matter. So I think you're on the right track with the two layers of 40 pound, make sure it's an SBS. Now, when it comes to Boral tile seal, it's a great material. It's a monolithic system, so it's a peel and stick, right? We typically wouldn't use that unless it's on a lower pitch roof where you have a possibility of more water intrusion underneath the tile.
And you don't usually see tile on low pitch roofs either. You know, those old ranch tile, they're almost always asphalt or metal.
Right. And there's guidelines. I mean, we're typically installing above a 312 pitch. But if it's a 312 pitch, which is kind of a lower pitch for most houses, most houses in Arizona are 3, 4, 5, 12 pitch, right? But when you get into 312 pitch, if it's a very busy area on the roof and you're worried about that water getting underneath, then you may want to use that Boral tile seal. The problem with Boral tile seal is when it's stuck, and it's probably stuck for good. A lot of the peeling sticks that we use, if you try to peel that off, you're pulling up plywood as well.
So in your replacement 20, 30 years down the road,
yes,
you can't apply a new surface on top. You have to take that off, and that surface is stuck to the plywood, so you got to rip your roofing deck off.
That's the general concern, yes, because more often than not, like I said, I've used similar materials on flat roofs, and you try to pull that stuff off, and it's stuck. Now again, you may have the mindset, well, it's 30, 40 years down the road. What do I care? Well, I care, you know, when you can mechanically attach something like two layers of a 40 pound or two layers of, for example, a TU-43, you can mechanically attach that, get the same performance or mostly the same performance. And the price is probably a little bit less too.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's say I do that peel and stick. Mm-hmm. And 30 years down the road, usually after that peel and stick, that's not your finish. You're putting the tile on top of that.
Correct.
Can I take the tile off and put metal over the top of that peel and stick product?
Good question. You could.
If it's not regulated.
But part of so so that's a there's a couple of ways to answer that question. Most of the time when we either do shingles or tile or whatever, and we're pulling we're replacing that underlayment. We're pulling off the old underlayment, right? And the reason we're pulling off the old underlayment is mostly so we can see. Well, we can see
the decking underneath
the decking,
and
right.
Inspect that.
Right. If you and you being in general construction, I mean, we want to be able to see it. We want to replace it at that time. Right. So the answer is yes. You could go over the top if it's in decent shape. There's probably nothing wrong with that. So that's not a bad way to approach it. Yeah. Yeah. But again, if it's not in good shape, and if 40 years from now that's deteriorated bad enough, it has to come off, you're back into that whole plywood thing.
Not a best practice situation.
Probably yes.